We're in a series here called By Faith. We've been stepping through a hall of fame or a hall of faith of some of the elders, as the Bible calls them, those that went before and gave us a good report of faith. And we have looked at three of these characters in the hall of fame, and we have studied their plaques, and we've looked at their lives. It's just little quick snippets that the Bible gives us in Hebrews chapter 11. God does not highlight every part of these people's lives in Hebrews chapter 11, but he does give us the things that apply, according to the Holy Spirit's opinion, that apply to faith and how they exemplified faith in their life. There's much you could say about each one of these characters, but what the Holy Spirit says is, this is what I saw that showed great faith. And so today we're in Hebrews chapter 11, just three verses here. We're going to look at a man in the Bible that has a ton of content about his life. Chapter 11, verse 8, the Bible says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles," that's tents, "with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Faith this morning. We're going to talk about the journey of faith. Father, thank you for this day. I pray you bless these words. These are your words. I ask you today, Lord, to speak to each heart. You are the one that knows what is needed. You know every heart, the pain, the needs, the worries. Lord, the spiritual answer they're looking for, you know what it is. It's you. But you know how to take what I say through your word and apply it to their hearts. So please, Lord, remove me out of the way so that you can clearly speak. May you get the glory. And if there is someone that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, today, this day, they would come to know you. That they would trust you and put all of their faith in Jesus Christ. We pray this in your name today. Amen. You may be seated. And chapter 11 of Hebrews is this group of people mentioned, and the first part is some generic content, so to speak, and descriptions of faith, and then it mentions the first man. His name is Abel, verse 4. The next man is Enoch, in verse 5, and then there's a content there about faith and describing it a little bit more, and the restrictions to it in verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Then verse 7, we're given another man. That was Noah. We talked about him last time we were in this chapter. Then the fourth elder that obtained a good report is Abraham. Abel taught us how to worship God, the correct sacrifice that God requires. Enoch informs us of how to walk with God. And he walked with God and then was not, for the Lord took him. Noah taught us how to work and how to witness for God. Noah, to the jeers and mockery of everyone around him, built a boat for a pointless reason, it seemed, until the day the rain came and the waters washed everyone away. And so he teaches us to work and to witness for God, to be a steady witness, even when those are mocking you and standing against you. But Abraham, the fourth man, is one who teaches us how to wander, but wander to God. Not wander, but wander. To sojourn, to walk about. Abram, as he's first called, is known as the father of Israel, the father of the Hebrews. Abraham is described more fully in the Bible than Abel and Enoch and Noah. There's so much. In fact, Genesis chapter 11, I want you to go there. That's where we're going to be. We're going to be between Hebrews 11 and Genesis 11 and 12 this morning. But Genesis chapter 11, verse 26, introduces us to Abraham. And from Genesis 11, 26 to Genesis 25, verse 10, all the content is surrounding the life and the deeds of Abraham. God takes a great deal to do, great deal of ink, if you could say it that way, and spends it on this man. Genesis 1 through 11 is the creation of a whole world. The start of civilizations, the start of families, the rise and collapse of the whole world. 11 chapters, that's it. But chapters 12 through 25 are basically this man and his progenitors, his following, his family. And it's an amazing story. And you go all the way into chapter 50, and there you find Joseph in Egypt. And so he's a very, what we might say, pivotal character in the Bible. He's called, in James chapter 2, the friend of God. He's called in Isaiah chapter 41, God called him Abraham, my friend. That's quite a title from God. Wouldn't that be amazing if God could say, Dave Asuna, my friend, the friend of God. I would love for him to call me that. But I don't know at times if I'm willing to do what Abraham did to be called God's friend. It's not an easy life. It's not a life that any of us would read in Joanna Gaines magazine. It would not be a perfect life. It would not be stark white and stark black with wrought iron. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about. Maybe some of you men do, right? Is it Magnolia Market? That's her big magazine that she... Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They're looking at me strange. I'm like, I'm a married man, and you got to have shiplap in your life. You're not a very good husband. You got to put shiplap somewhere. And she does a great job. But Abraham and poor Sarai or Sarah, that she didn't get to have that kind of Magnolia Market lifestyle. Abraham teaches us some things. And we're going to look in chapter 12 here in a second, but before we do, think of this. Abraham teaches a few things, and this is kind of our three thoughts this morning. He teaches us to surrender to the call, and he teaches us to sojourn in faith, and he teaches us to seek a better land. That's his life. You know, many people talk about being in the will of God. It's a very important thing. It's a very, very important concept, being in God's will. Can I say something at the beginning here that kind of encapsulates the whole message? Being in the will of God is not so much a certainty of a settled position. Like, I'm here in God's will, and it never changes, or I never move, or nothing ever changes. That's not the concept of being in God's will. Being in God's will is not a particular job. It's not a particular house. It's not a particular vehicle. But being in God's will is a particular destination. It's not necessarily where you are. It is where you are going. And you can be in God's will in the desert. You can be in God's will, the Apostle Paul was, in jail for the gospel's sake. It's not a place. It is, where are you going? If you're writing today, write this down. The will of God is that all temporal matters be subject to our journey to the heavenly place. Let me say that again. The will of God is that all temporal matters be subject to our journey to the heavenly place, to heaven. It means you filter this life through where you're going, not where you're at. And this is what caused Abraham to leave his land. Look in Genesis chapter 12. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, are you there? Verse number one, now the Lord, notice these two words, had said. Something he had already told Abraham. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, by the way, Abram is the name he was called first before he was called Abraham. And he said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. So three things here, and from thy father's house. Three things. Get out of the country you're in, get away from the people you're related to, and get out of your father's house. That's quite a separation. And he says, do what? Unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. This verse number three is more up to date than whatever Fox News is going to say today. Verse three. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee, Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. I want to make a statement today. America, be careful what you do right now with Israel. God will curse you if you try to curse his people. But he will bless you if you try to bless his people. And this promise has never gone away and it never will go away. This is what's called the Abrahamic covenant. And God made the Abrahamic covenant with himself without even Abraham. He said, I'm going to make a covenant with Abraham alone. We can read that in another chapter. And so this is a binding agreement the God of heaven made with a group of people. You say, well, this thing about the Jews, and I read this. Whatever you read, if it wasn't based out of the Word of God, it's not true. And there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the world. It's wicked and it's of the devil. I am not saying that the Jewish people down through history are not sinners. God judged them greatly. And they did reject the Messiah. And he has punished them. But he will restore them. And he will forgive his people. And they will be back in their land. And they will stay in their land. And there is no government in the world, nor confederation of governments in the whole world, that will ever be able to move God's people. And so I say this to you today, pray for Israel. Stand behind them. And call your leaders and tell them you better stay behind them. Don't you sell them out underneath the table. Because this is God's people. And God blesses Abraham right here. This is the start of the nation of Israel. It is Genesis chapter 12. Now I want you to see, first of all, he surrendered to the call by faith. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go. There's some speculation about when Abraham left his homeland and where he went and what happened. One thing is for certain. The Holy Spirit in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, is being generous. The Bible says here, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go unto a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, the promised land, he obeyed. Not quite. He did eventually. If you study Genesis chapter 11, he left his land, he left the country, but he took his father with him. And he had to wait in a holding place until Terah, his father, died. And then he went into the land. Now, if you study Hebrews, you're going to find a lot of things. Hebrews 11, let's just say it this way. God is gracious. And in the history of some of his great people, he overlooks at times some really bad things they did. Can anybody say, thank God he's gracious? He doesn't mention everything that you've done? Praise God. And so, though Abraham eventually obeyed, he struggled a little bit. You could study this later this afternoon at some point. Look at Genesis 11, 27 through 32, and you're going to find his father. His father's name is Terah. It's an interesting name. It means delay. That's what his name means. And so, Abraham delayed a little bit. Can I say this? God calls people, and they don't always answer right away. Sometimes they delay. And sometimes it takes you 25 years to hear God and listen to him and obey him. But if you'll start right now and obey him, You know what he's going to write at the end of your life? He obeyed. He can write that about you. You say, well, I disobeyed. Yes, but if you've asked for his forgiveness and repented from that and you obeyed, he could write, nah, he obeyed. He could write that about you. And so Abraham obeyed the Lord. Now in Genesis 12, this is what we might call God's third start with humanity. He tried with Adam, and Adam failed. He tried with Noah's descendants coming off of the boat, coming off of the ark. And guess what happened to them? They failed as well. Even Noah got drunk. Hebrews 11 says nothing about that. God's grace. It's amazing. It's amazing grace. And so God starts again, but this time he's going to start with an individual. Those first two attempts, Adam and Noah's descendants, they were made with a race. But this attempt was going to be with an individual. And he's going to be the founder of a nation, Israel, that would in turn bless the race of man. Abraham, through Israel, was going to be a witness to the rest of mankind. You're going to be an example. Follow Abraham, Father Abraham. That's why he went through so many things. You're going to be like Abraham. Israel, through Abraham, was going to be a depository, a group of people that would receive God's written word. They received God's written word to the nation of Israel. They're an example that way, and God said, I picked them. People say, what's the big deal about Israel? The big deal about Israel is God. And God chose Israel, and God gave them the written revelation. And if I can be just a little bit edgy here, when you have God give you all those things, then you're special too. It's not because of who they are, it's because of who God is and who he chose. And so Israel is going to be a depository for God's word. They were going to be the preparation for the Messiah and the Savior. He preserved a people for Jesus to come through. Miraculously fed them in a wilderness, brought manna down out of the sky and quail flying in and provided for them. So they were an example. And they were going to be a channel for blessing to the world. Now, Israel has not always been that. Israel, at times, has taken God's blessings and squandered them and committed whoredom, the Bible calls it. But from Genesis chapter 12 all the way through the book of Acts and chapter 7, Bible students, Abraham and the nation of Israel and those that came out of him, they are the ones that are in God's view. From Genesis chapter 12 all the way to Acts chapter 7, that's what God's talking about. Any Gentile that had a connection with the Jew were just receiving a blessing from the Lord being in connection to the Jewish people. There's no promise in the Word of God that any Gentile nation would last forever. Did you know that? There's never been a promise that a Gentile kingdom would last. That's why it was so miraculous and remarkable that when Jonah was sent to Nineveh, the Assyrians, and he preached, and he said, yet 40 days, judgment's going to come. The whole nation, the whole city repented. You know why? They didn't have a single piece of scripture written to them. And yet God sent Jonah in his mercy to talk to them. So you got to understand, when I say the Bible is a Jewish book, it literally is. It's a book that God gave to a specific group of people. Now, we get to be a part of that. How? By faith. By faith through Jesus Christ. That does not make me Jewish. What does it make me? It makes me a Christian. And in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. I am one in him. A very important thing to understand. Israel is separate. People just don't understand that. They think that's just a big fight over there over some property. You've got to understand there is a God who has a group of people and there's a devil who hates those people. And that's been the fight ever since. And here's the start of it. Hebrews 11, referencing Genesis 12. You see, God discovered Abraham. And here's the important thing. You've got to understand. Abraham's family were heathens. Nehemiah 9:7 says, "Thou art the Lord God who didst choose Abram and brought him forth out of the Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of Abraham." In Acts chapter 7, we learn that God's glory is revealed to Abraham, and his glory came to him and said, it says here, and he said, "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken." This is Stephen speaking to the nation of Israel. He said, "The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan. And he said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land where I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land," Stephen speaking, "wherein ye now dwell." See, we're not distinctly told this about Abraham, but it's implicit that Abraham's family was idolaters. They were idolaters. Joshua 24:2. Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah," Abraham's father, "the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." So what happened when God came to Abraham? He wasn't just saying, "Hey, I want to make you a pilgrim." He was calling him out of heathenism, out of taking something physical and fashioning it, and then saying, "It's a god," and bowing down to it and saying, "That's my god." That's what Abraham's father, that's why God said, "Leave your country." God said, "Leave your kindred. I am not one of those gods." You see, isn't that amazing? Here's Noah who stands and walks with God, right? And walks with God so much that he's willing to build a boat as people laugh at him. But after he dies, his descendants are producing people that don't worship the God of heaven. They worship idols. They worship things that they carved out of stone, out of wood, from the sky. They worship the stars. They worship the moon. They're worshiping false gods. And God said to Abraham, "Abraham, Abraham, get out of here. Go. Go." "Lord, who is this?" "Get away from your mom and dad." "Why?" "I have a place I want you to go." "Where do I go?" "Just leave." "Where do I leave to? Do I have a ticket? Can I get an Airbnb?" "Just leave." No, when we talk about faith, that's faith. You know what he's doing? He's listening to God's words. And he answers the call. And he leaves. And folks, when he leaves, he leaves. And he goes to that promised land. Abraham is starting his journey of faith by obeying the Lord. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:8 again, it says, he obeyed and he went out. He responded to the word of God and he obeyed and he didn't ask questions. Listen, I read a story about a young boy. A young boy had a dog, and he said about his dog, "I wish I could mind God as my little dog minds me." He says, "He always looks so pleased to mind, and I don't. Even the animal kingdom listens better to God than we do. They listened to God when he said, get on the boat. And the rest of the nation didn't. The rest of the world didn't listen. Even though he sent a preacher to say it for 120 years, get on the boat. The animal kingdom said, what was that, God? And they went. And they got on the boat. Isn't it amazing how we forget to listen to our Creator? He's talking to you today. Have you heard his call? Have you heard God say, get out? Leave the land of unbelief. Leave the false gods. Leave the religion behind. Get out. You need to trust me. You need to come to me. I am the true God. How do I know, God? I wrote it in my word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Abram's life, he didn't have a written word of God, but he did have a revelation from God. And he listened to that. Are you listening? Do you hear God's call? Got a question. Is this ever opened during your week? Do you ever read this and say, what does God want to say to me? He is calling. Maybe you're not saved this morning. He's calling you to salvation in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him. Get out from the gods, the trust that you had in other people, the trust you had in religion. Leave. He's calling. And Abram left, and he walked by faith. I want you to see, first of all, he surrendered to the call and to the call of faith. But then he sojourned in that faith. He left. And if you're still in Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. That's kind of a long time before you'd have a big move. 75 years in his known country, 75 years with his known gods, and God calls him, and he answers him. And he lived. And look, verse 5, and Abram took Sarah, his wife, Sarai, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Abram sojourned in faith. He was called to leave his former life behind, and so are we. And so are we. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There in Morgan Hill today, God, if you're saved, is calling you to tell people to leave their gods. He's telling them. You say, Pastor Matt, they don't have any gods. Actually, they have gods here. I've been door knocking and people have gods on their steps. They have gods over the door. They have gods in their homes. I've seen them yesterday. God has called you, called me as a Christian to go tell them those gods can't save you. Get away from them. You say, well, that's their religion. Listen, if a bridge is out, and I know the bridge is out, how dare I stand at the edge of the precipice of a bridge being out and not tell them the bridge is out? Right? Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Wrong way to think. The bridge is out. Don't go down this road. It's destruction. And we're to wave, and we're to declare, and we're to preach and tell them there is no hope in your gods. There's only hope in the God, Jehovah God. And so you and I are called in this same way to tell people, hey, step away from those gods. Step away from that idolatry. How will they make that step of faith? How can they do it? How can they answer the call? How did we answer that call? That's very simple. Imagine a young child, 4 or 5 years old, and they're learning how to swim. This is a hard thing for parents. But that young child stands on the edge of the pool, and they're full of excitement. Their friends have told them how great it is. They've heard. They have anticipation. Their parents, or one parent, two parents, are sitting in the pool. What do we tell them? Jump. I'll catch you. Go ahead, jump. I'll catch you. I don't know if they want to do it. I remember when I was a kid, diving boards scared me when I was young. And you would come out to the edge and back up. You come back to the edge and you get scared. You don't want to take that leap. But a child sitting there often doesn't have a lot of those thoughts. Many times a kid will jump in. They don't even know how dangerous it is. But you know, if a parent is sitting in that water and says, jump, they don't think about how deep the water is. They don't even think about if they can swim or not. A young child jumps in the water at parents for one reason. Mom and dad's in there. If mom and dad are in that water, I'll be safe. and they will leave everything behind. The stability of the ground for the instability of the water, because Dad is holding out his arm saying, jump, I'll catch you. This is how Abraham left his family. God said, jump. And Abraham said, where? He jumped. And God caught him. Amen. And Abraham became the friend of God. You see, Abraham did not actually know exactly where he was going. But listen, please. He knew who he was following. He didn't know exactly where that person would take him, where God would take him, but he knew it was God that was taking him. And faith is much like that. And that is, we jump to God because we know he can answer and he can save us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land. That means to stay temporarily, maybe dwell for a time. We too, are walking in this world as pilgrims and strangers ourselves. We don't belong here. Boy, I got saved when I was 11 years old. And when I say saved, I mean I asked Jesus Christ to save me from my sin and take me to heaven. And my father walked me through the scriptures and showed me how to know for sure that I was on my way to heaven. He told me that Jesus Christ died for me and that he paid for my sin. And if I put my trust in him, this Savior who died and was buried and rose again from the dead, that if I would trust him according to the scriptures, I would be saved. And I did. And I asked him to save me at a young age. And I began to walk a walk of faith. But I tell you what, I struggled. Because even though I'm walking in this world, I kind of like the world. Even though I'm a stranger to it, I like to be popular. I like to be known. I like to be accepted somewhat. I don't want to be weird. And so as a teenager, I struggled with that. I tell you that I'd like to tell you it's been all eradicated, it's been all taken away, but I still can struggle as someone who wants to fit into this world. It's a human experience. We want to be connected because we are connected, and we think this is it, but it's not. But it's not. This world is not our home. If you're saved, you've been remade for another place. And so as you grow and walk in this life with the Lord, you realize that more and more, I don't fit in here. The sin that I thought would make me happy doesn't make me happy. I'm going to another place. And you walk and sojourn in faith. I've been to several countries. I've been blessed to visit a lot of places. And I realized something pretty quick. It's fun to go visit other cultures. It's fun to eat food from another place. But I don't fit in there. It's not my place. I don't belong there. And I can go for a while and sojourn in that land. And people are gracious there. But it's not where I'm from. When I fly home to America and land on this earth, I was born here. This is where I belong. This is my native homeland. And there's something about it. When I land, I'm like, I'm from here. I love it here. And I would say, I think you should think the same way from your country as well. You love it. Yes, we got problems, but this is where I'm from. And see, Abraham lived his entire life like, well, I'll put my foot down there, but it's not really mine. I'll set up my tent here, but it's not really my place. He teaches us a life of sojourning in faith. We are not citizens here. We're citizens of another country. Look at a couple of verses. We're almost done here. Look at Genesis chapter 12. You're right there. Look at verse 9. The Bible says, and Abraham, look at verse 8, excuse me, first. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west side and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abram listens to God's call to go into a land he doesn't know. He comes into that land and he is sojourning. He is moving about. He sets up his tent in this area, and notice he sets up an altar unto the Lord. That's a key thing. He's not worshiping gods anymore. He's setting up an altar to the Lord God. But he sets it up between Bethel and Hai. Bethel means the house of God. Hai means a heap of ruins. Just the pile of ruins. And there Abram, as a sojourner, lives right there. Here's my question. To which mountain are you closer? Do you live closer to Bethel? Or do you live closer to Hai, the heap of ruins? Abram, as a pilgriming stranger in this land, stayed close to God and built an altar right there. The house of God. Yes, we have great times in this world, and we love living here, but it's not the place that we belong. You know what he's doing? He's seeking a better country. Abraham actually is looking for a physical city. He's looking for a physical country and becomes the land of Israel, the land of promise. We're not searching for the same thing. Yes, we live in cities, but as a citizen of heaven, I don't fit in this world anymore. Let me just say this. Christian, the reason why, no matter how much money you put away in your savings, the reason why, no matter how many houses you own and how many clothes you have and how many connections, it never quite satisfies you, is because if you're saved, you're actually made for heaven. So nothing in this world is going to satisfy you completely. It really is just something that you use to live in this world. If you're a Christian and you're flipping it the other way, you're miserable. You're hoping that these temporal, material things give you satisfaction, and that's why you don't find joy, because you're tenting, you are pitching your tent closer to Hai than Bethel. Pitch your tent in Bethel and be closer to the house of God. You see, you and I have this same life that Abraham lived. This pilgrimage, this stranger, this sojourning, this, you're an outsider, aren't you? And the more you try to fit in to the culture that you live in, and you're made for another world, the more miserable you'll be. The reason why your kids are miserable is because if they're saved, they're trying to get everything they can out of this life, even though they've been made for the next life. And if you do that, you will be an unhappy, joyless person. You're going to keep thinking the drugs. You're going to keep thinking the alcohol. You're going to keep thinking the smoking. You're going to keep thinking the sex is what's going to give you peace and joy and happiness and satisfaction. But if you're saved, it's not found in that. It's found in the next life. It's found in a person that's taking you to the next life. It's Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, Jesus said. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Just like Abraham, we are seeking a better country. We move here and we say, oh, that's not it. We go here, nope, that's not it. What are we doing? We're moving to heaven. If you are not saved this morning, you are not moving to heaven. You're not going to heaven. You say, but Pastor Marshall, I'm religious. So is Abraham. Yes, he served the gods of his fathers. But when God, the God, called him, he answered, said, yes, Lord, I'll follow. Can I say to you, with all the authority of the Word of God, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is calling you right now. If you are not saved, then you need to be saved. He will save you. He's calling to you right now to leave whatever you're trusting and to come be a pilgrim with him. Oh, for Jesus Christ himself found no place to lay his head. He was a stranger. He was rejected. He didn't fit in this world. He talked much about the next. And as Christians, if you know him, you're following him in faith. Have you answered that call? Have you obeyed the world and left this world and its idols behind? What are you trusting right now? to get you to heaven? Are all your temporal earthly matters subject to your journey to the heavenly place? Are you telling your family and your coworkers and your friends and your boss and your children and your grandparents and your parents that you are seeking a better country? That some of the decisions you make as a family are not based on being weird, but are based on being Christian. That it's different because He made you different. Are you telling them that? As a Christian, we're bound for another land, and we walk by faith. The journey's hard. Sometimes we want to fit in the culture. Sometimes we realize this is not all there is. There's another life to come. Father, thank you for Abraham.